one word that says Lakers? Winning. The Lakers, their legacy is about winning championships.
Gia, Gia, Gia.
The Lake Show doesn't stop. It just keeps rolling on. And with Dwight Howard and Steve Nash now rocking the purple and gold.
Just this opportunity
playing from the Laker organization.
One of the greatest franchises in professional sports.
It means a lot to me.
This looks to be a very exciting season for the Los Angeles Lakers. Be a part of the click here on the Lakers Circle on UrbanNightsRadio.com. The Bay Area's only sports show dedicated to the LA Lakers. Now here's your host, Jordan Aquino.
What's up, everybody? Today is Friday, December 14th, and I hope that everybody is enjoying their holiday season so far. I'm your host, Jordan Aquino, and I want to thank you for tuning in to UrbanNightsRadio.com and listening to the Lakers Circle, the only spot in the Bay Area for your Lakers fix. And I want to remind you listeners that you can find the Lakers Circle on Facebook and on Twitter, so make sure you add us. And we have a big show for you today. Today we'll be discussing what players the Lakers are interested in adding to their roster. And we'll also give you an update on Pau Gasol and Steve Nash, because you know they've been missing a lot of games so far in this early part of the season. Now around the NBA, Kevin Love has some harsh statements about his own team, the Minnesota Timberwolves, and the Golden State Warriors haven't done this since the 2004-2005 season. And lastly, this NBA player has a new music video out right now. You can't miss this. You got to figure out which NBA player has this new music video out right now. But we'll get to that later. First off, we'll begin today's opening tip with the Lakers' four consecutive losses this week, because you can't spell Lakers without the L.
Yeah, we're not very good right now.
Yeah, no kidding, coach. Lakers look pretty darn terrible right now. They are only 9-14 overall. That's 9 wins and already 14 losses in this early part of the season. And I know it's not even Christmas yet, so we really shouldn't be panicking, but these games do count in the end, and the Western Conference is highly competitive, and you're going to need as many wins as possible just to make it to the playoffs, just to be the 8th seed in the Western Conference. But yeah, the Lakers are 9-14. It is a bad start, and to think that the Lakers added Dwight Howard and Steve Nash during the offseason. They also shore up their bench by adding Anton Jameson and Jody Meeks. And to think that this year's team has a worse record than last year's team is unbelievable. It's quite astonishing. Let's backtrack a little bit. The Lakers ended up starting their season last year 14-9, which is pretty solid, especially considering that the Lakers didn't have Phil Jackson as their coach anymore because he retired. So you had Mike Brown, a brand new coach, who couldn't get acclimated with his new team because, you know, the NBA was going through a brand new collective bargaining agreement. So the season didn't even start on time. There was no offseason or training camp. Also, the Lakers thought they were going to get Chris Paul because they traded for him, but that trade ended up being vetoed by the NBA. So it really hampered the team at that point. Lamar Odom ended up being traded away, and Odom was rewarded as the sixth man of the year last season. So to think that the Lakers didn't get any new players in return for him, it really hurts the Lakers' rotation. Especially considering that Shannon Brown wasn't even brought back. He ended up being on a new team as a free agent. So the Los Angeles Lakers had to rely on guys like Troy Murphy and Josh McRoberts to come off the bench for them. They had to rely on inexperienced guys like Devin Ebanks, Darius Morris, and Andrew Golak to play vital roles for the team. So to think that that team started the season better than this year's team? Oh, you gotta be kidding me. To give you a sense of how frustrating it is to watch the LA Lakers right now, we'll go through their four losses during the week. Now last week on Friday, the Lakers were on the road and they faced the best team in the NBA, the Oklahoma City Thunder, and they lost 114-108. But the game was never really that close. That's because Russell Westbrook, he has always been a matchup problem against the Lakers, and he scored 27 of his 33 points in the first half. And by halftime, the Lakers had a double-digit lead, too big of a lead to try to come back from. Now on Sunday, they ended up losing at home against the Utah Jazz 117-110. And I find it really embarrassing for a team to give up 117 points on their home floor. The Utah Jazz shot 54% overall throughout the whole game. Come on now, you gotta stop somebody. Now on Tuesday, on the road against the Cleveland Cavaliers, this is the game where Kyrie Irving came back from his finger injury. And he just ran rampant against the Lakers defense. He got every shot he wanted. He was able to isolate and drain threes in transition, and the Lakers lost 100-94. The Lakers offense was pretty much non-existent. They only shot 41% as a team and recorded 18 turnovers. And Kobe was pretty much a one-man band. He scored 42 points, but it wasn't enough points to really carry the Lakers to a victory. Now on Thursday, yesterday, it was a total embarrassment on live television on TNT at Madison Square Garden against the New York Knicks. No one on the Lakers could stop Carmelo Anthony, who was a force to be reckoned with. And the New York Knicks, they couldn't miss from outside. They were just draining threes against the Lakers defense. But, you know, the Lakers, they did a horrible job of matching up against the Knicks. And it was a total embarrassment. It was even worse than seeing Jeremy Lin torch the Lakers last season. Oh my goodness. And there's a common theme to all of these Lakers losses. And I'll let Kobe Bryant pinpoint some of the main deficiencies right now for the Los Angeles Lakers.
Well, our transition defense has been our Achilles heel. You know, turnovers and, you know, just miscues that we have that have been costing us ball games night in and night out. And it seems like, you know, 4 games under .500, but it seems more than that just because of the way that we've been playing.
And to be honest, I really don't see the Lakers defense improving anytime soon. Well, not until they get a full healthy roster. But until that time comes, they're going to continue to struggle for the next couple of weeks. First off, their point guards cannot stop anybody. Now, I understand that trying to stop Russell Westbrook and Kyrie Irving, that's a very difficult job for any defense. But you know, the Laker point guards, they have a hard time trying to stay in front of Raymond Felton and Jason Kidd and even Mo Williams. Like, come on now, these guys aren't superstar point guards, yet you guys are making them look like one. And secondly, you can really tell that Dwight Howard is not 100% still. He is still recovering from his back surgery that he had during the offseason, and it's really hurting him on the defensive end. I could tell that he really wants to help his point guards during pick and roll situations, but that's just opening up the big man down low for the other team, and Lakers are giving up points in the paint. And Dwight Howard doesn't have the same kind of elusiveness, reaction, and timing that he did back when he was fully healthy in Orlando, back when he won 3 straight Defensive Player of the Year awards. But Dwight right now, he is far from that player. Looks like we just have a mirror image of him right now, or a hologram. Because Dwight Howard is not affecting the game defensively like we are used to seeing him. And lastly, the Lakers are playing non-existent transition defense. They're not playing any of it at all. That's because the Lakers have a very hard time trying to keep up with the younger teams of the NBA. And let's face it, the Lakers are one of the oldest teams. And they have a lot of veterans on their roster, so they can't really play in a fast-paced, high-tempo type of game. So when they do end up in that type of playstyle, they can't get back on defense, and other teams are beating them down the court and getting layups. Now, when the Lakers do get back on defense, they don't do a very good job of matching up and pinpointing where their man is at, so the other team can get wide-open transition threes like it's nothing. And other teams are gonna knock down those type of shots. And all this adds up to the Lakers fans having an extremely hard time defending their Los Angeles Lakers to other people. Because there are a lot of people who do not like the Lakers, and they are enjoying the fact that the Lakers keep losing. Critics are also bashing them left and right. And for us Lakers fans, we can't really blame them because the Lakers are pretty darn terrible right now. It's a travesty. Trust me, it is. And on that note, we'll be ending today's opening tip. But don't worry, as much as this hurts me and hurts you listeners, we'll continue to talk bad about the Lakers later on in the show. We'll definitely get to the very heated Mike D'Antoni post-game interview after the loss to the Cleveland Cavaliers. But first off, let's move on to what's around the NBA.
Keep up with all the action on the hardwood with your host, Jordan Aquino, here on the Lakers Circle. You can find us at UrbanNightsRadio.com.
Get the bus ready, because we have 29 other teams to get through in so little time. We're going around the NBA.
Let's get to some of the major news outside of Lakerland. And let's begin with Kevin Love, who is a very good power forward in this league, and he plays for the Minnesota Timberwolves. But he believes that his team's management doesn't really think so. Kevin Love, he was speaking with a sports reporter from Yahoo Sports, and he was saying that the team's owner and general manager doesn't believe that Kevin Love is a true NBA star, considering that Kevin Love hasn't carried the team to the playoffs yet. And so Kevin Love was continuing on saying how the team management also questioned some of his recent injuries, like his hand injury. And they were questioning whether he was really hurt or not and whether he should be really playing instead of sitting out and trying to recover. And Kevin Love would go on and say that the team always seems like it has a new roster year in and year out, like new teammates that he needs to get to know and new faces, and there's not really a consistency in the team's roster. Which I guess I can understand, because the general manager of the Minnesota Timberwolves, David Kahn, he is a little bit quirky and he kind of has weird explanations on his motives and on his decision making. But I gotta defend David Kahn a little bit here. For this year, David Kahn has made the Minnesota Timberwolves a lot better than in years prior. He has vastly improved the wing play of the Minnesota Timberwolves, which has been one of their weaknesses over the years. He has brought in guys like Brandon Roy and Chase Budinger and Andre Kirilenko. And so this team is much improved. Kevin Love, you just need to focus on playing and getting your hand fully healthy, because you only shot 3-for-17 on Wednesday and the home crowd was starting to boo you, because your fans, they hear what you say to the media, and if you're too critical on their team, they're gonna start booing you despite you being the best player on the team. And so you just need to focus on playing and getting back into that all-star power forward form and being that double-double machine that you know you can be. And the Minnesota Timberwolves, they just need to get healthy, because they still have to get Ricky Rubio back into the roster and Brandon Roy back onto the team. And if they do that and they all fall under Rick Adelman and his style of play, I think the Minnesota Timberwolves can make a splash in the Western Conference and potentially make it to the playoffs as a 7th or 8th seed. But Kevin Love, if you think so negatively about your team's management, then why did you sign a 4-year, $62 million contract extension with the team last year? If you didn't really believe in the Timberwolves, then you could have just played out this year and then enter free agency where you can join a new team. And I'm not trying to instigate here, but you could have joined the Los Angeles Lakers or something. But hey, that's a whole different story. Let's move on and let's get to some of the NBA scores from this week. And I gotta say, there has been a lot of close, intense games so far in this season. And there has been a lot of overtime games. So let's focus on that and around the NBA. So last Friday, two Atlantic teams, the Boston Celtics and the Philadelphia 76ers, go at it. And Evan Turner pulls up and makes the go-ahead basket in overtime to beat the Boston Celtics 95-94. For Monday, the San Antonio Spurs have a good old-fashioned Texas shootout with the Houston Rockets in a 134-126 overtime win. Tony Parker records his first triple-double, trumping the Houston Rockets' Jeremy Lin's 38-point night. Now, moving on to Tuesday, New York and Brooklyn go down the wire in part two of the Battle of the Boroughs, and the New York Knicks' Jason Kidd saves the day with a game-winning three-pointer to give the Knicks a 100-97 win. Now, on the three that Jason Kidd made, he kicks out his leg during his shooting motion, a la Reggie Miller. And that is illegal in today's NBA, and you can't do that. That is considered an offensive foul. So Jason Kidd got away with one during that shot. You can see the replay of Jason Kidd's game-winning shot here on the Lakers Circle's Facebook page. Just go to Facebook and search the Lakers Circle, and we'll have the video up for you, and you can be the judge of whether or not Jason Kidd should be called for an offensive foul. Moving on to Wednesday night, Boston takes two overtimes to beat the visiting Dallas Mavericks. And the Golden State Warriors use a last-second alley-oop to take down the defending champion Miami Heat. The Warriors have won the first five games of their long seven-game road trip, and it's quite an achievement for them. And we'll talk more about the Warriors in my winners and losers of this week. And finally, on Saturday, a shootout was being held between OJ Mayo and James Harden. These two young shooting guards were really going at each other, and OJ Mayo had 40 points, while James Harden had 39. OJ Mayo and the Dallas Mavericks ended up winning 116-109. That's all we have around the NBA, but beware, some player out there has just released a brand new music video. And let me play a little bit of the audio, just so that you listeners can get a glimpse of who am I talking about. You ever feel that rush running through your veins? The rush is the blood is the beat, can't be contained. But we'll get to this song and this music video a little later on the show. Coming up is my winners and losers of the week.
Did you miss last night's game? Don't worry. Just tune into the Lakers Circle, UrbanNightsRadio.com, for highlights. Buries the shot! An analysis on the purple and gold.
The Lakers offense to be run much more smoothly.
And around the NBA.
Try to help his new fellow Heat try to repeat him.
You're listening to the Lakers Circle on UrbanNightsRadio.com. Now it's time for Jordan Aquino's winners and losers of the week.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Lakers Circle, and I just want to remind you listeners that you can listen to this podcast on iTunes or Podomatic.com, and you also have the choice of downloading the show if you want to. And I'm your host, Jordan Aquino, and here are my biggest winners and losers of the week. Now, to start off with the Lakers, there's really not too many winners on the Lakers front right now because they didn't win any games this week. They were 0-4. But I gotta show my respects to Kobe Bryant because he's really the only one on the Lakers roster who's really playing with intensity, urgency, and who's playing with great effort every game, night in and night out. He's really putting an emphasis of controlling the ball, getting into position where either he can score or set up others, or him being very aggressive on the offensive end. Because right now he's trying to get through the fact that Steve Nash, Pau Gasol, and even Steve Blake are out with injury. So he needs to be even more aggressive on the offensive end just to keep the Lakers afloat. Despite the 0-4 record this week, Kobe was averaging 35 points per game on 46% shooting. Now those are great numbers for a 34-year-old. No offense, Kobe Bryant. Kobe is leading the league in scoring this season. But the stat that worries me the most right now is the minutes played. Kobe has clocked in a lot of minutes already this season, and he's averaging 38 minutes per game so far. So I believe the Lakers should consider monitoring Kobe's minutes so that you can save his legs and his best basketball for the playoffs. The thing is, if the Lakers keep losing, they might not even reach the playoffs this season because, you know, in the Western Conference, you gotta win close to 50 games just to be the 8th seed. So right now, Kobe is trying to give his maximum effort just so that the Lakers can be competitive and start winning games. But the Lakers aren't going to win too many games if they continue to give up so many points on the defensive end. This week alone, other teams have been scoring with ease against the Lakers' defense, and I gotta put the onus on Coach Mike D'Antoni.
I hate it. I'm down, but I'm not embarrassed.
Because As much effort and time he puts into implementing his offensive system, he hardly puts the same kind of effort on the defensive end. And to be blunt, I just think that Coach Mike D'Antoni needs to care about defense a little more. He needs to prepare his team more on defense and make the proper adjustments during the game instead of focusing only on the offense. And it just discourages me to hear that during Mike D'Antoni's post-game interview after the loss against the Cleveland Cavaliers, that he and the Lakers only work on defense in a short amount of time.
Did you work on defense?
Hell yeah, we worked for a half hour on it. So it's, you know, you, when we go to
you, start to,
you start to piss me off. Oh. You start to piss me off because you say something that's not factually correct.
I'm giving you the opportunity.
Well, I'll just straighten it out.
Let's play that part one more time, just so that you listeners can hear what he's saying.
Did you work on defense?
Hell yeah, we worked for a half hour on it.
So you're telling me that a professional basketball team only works on defense for half an hour when their main problem as a team is playing good team defense? Oh my goodness, you gotta be kidding me right now. Most high school teams out there in the country work on defense a lot longer than 30 minutes. Come on, Coach D'Antoni.
I don't know. I'd go in and solve it if I knew. I don't know.
And I understand that the team is in a road trip right now, and it's hard to have practice when you are in a different location each day. But come on, the team is scoring enough points to win games, even though they're not running the offense perfectly. It's on the defensive end when they are losing games, because the Lakers are finding themselves being down early and often in games, and that's due to the fact that other teams are scoring at will against their defense, and by the time the Lakers try to make a comeback and cut the deficit, they can't get the necessary stops to fully come back. And for that, I think I gotta start calling Coach Mike D'Antoni Mike and Tony without the D, because obviously the Lakers aren't playing any defense at the moment. But let's move on to more of my winners of the week around the NBA, and that include the Oklahoma City Thunder, who have won 9 straight games, and the Los Angeles Clippers, who have won 8. Also, I gotta give love to the Bay Area's team, the Golden State Warriors, who have won 5 straight road games in their long 7-game trip. And in case you didn't know, it's their longest road winning streak since winning 6 straight during the 2004-2005 season. So it's been a while since the Warriors have had road success like this. And the big reason for it has been power forward David Lee, who has been averaging 24 points and 13 rebounds in this road trip so far. And he's just been a beast. You can tell with the Warriors, when David Lee gets it going like that, it opens things up for Klay Thompson and Stephen Curry to get better shots. And when they're hitting their shots, it opens things up for guys like Jared Jack or Carl Landry or even Harrison Barnes. So when David Lee is playing in full force, it just opens up the floodgates for the Golden State Warriors. Now, of course, I also gotta mention Tony Parker, who recorded his first career triple-double in an overtime win against the Houston Rockets with a stat line of 27 points, 12 assists, and 12 rebounds. So congrats to Mr. Tony Parker. And obviously, I gotta mention Carmelo Anthony, because he's been a force to be reckoned with. In the 3 wins this week against the Denver Nuggets, the Brooklyn Nets, and the Los Angeles Lakers, Carmelo Anthony has averaged 36 points per game. Just look at the game yesterday against the Lakers. He made 8 of his first 9 shots, scoring 22 first quarter points. Overall, he ended up with 30 points in just 23 minutes. He could have played more during the game, but unfortunately, during the third quarter, he ended up landing awkwardly on his left leg, and as a result, he sprained his left ankle. And with the injury, he will be issued as day-to-day and may miss a game or two. But if the New York Knicks can keep winning and keep playing well, look for Carmelo Anthony to win his first MVP award. As for my biggest losers of the week, I have to choose the Brooklyn Nets because they have lost 5 straight games. Brooklyn! Brooklyn! and that's due to the fact that Brook Lopez has missed all of those games due to a foot sprain. And you can see how important Brook Lopez is to the Nets' success because he provides so much size and length, and he has shot blocking ability, and he has a great offensive repertoire. And so Lopez becomes a matchup problem for other teams, and the Nets right now, they don't have that, and so they are struggling right now without Brook Lopez. Speaking of Eastern Conference centers, I gotta mention Andrew Bynum, who is pretty much the epitome of the phrase YOLO, you only live once. Just look at Bynum's actions and just the way he looks right now. Ever since he got traded to the Philadelphia 76ers, he found it cool to grow out his hair, and right now his head of hair looks like a chia pet. It looks like an overgrown beaver is hibernating on his head right now. That thing is so massive, I don't know whether he permed it out, or it's an afro, or it's a little bit of both. It's just wild to see. And you can see a picture of it on our Facebook and Twitter just to understand what I'm talking about right now, because it's a crazy head of hair for Andrew Bynum. And let's not forget the fact that Andrew Bynum, he hasn't played a single game for the 76ers this season. We bought it every day, like we sitting on the bench, but we don't really play. And to make matters worse, he re-injured one of his knees while bowling. Ain't that something? Even more interesting is that recently, Andrew Bynum was seen at a penthouse club in Philadelphia, wearing only a white tee, some sweatpants, and some slippers. Man, that's swagged out right there. And apparently he was there to see an old friend. And regardless of what you think about Andrew Bynum, I don't think he really cares at all. He's the type of person who likes to do things his own way and on his own terms. But come on now, Andrew Bynum, you really need to get it together, because the Philadelphia 76ers really need you right now. And dude, you haven't had a contract extension yet. You have to be using this year as leverage to get another big contract. And right now, you're doing a bad job of doing that. So Andrew Bynum, that's why you are one of my biggest losers of this week and of this season so far. Now, coming up in the show, Kobe Bryant candidly expresses what team he wants to play next so that hopefully the Lakers can finally get a win. But first off, let's finally figure out which player it is that has a brand new song and music video out in our Word Around Town.
You're listening to the Bay Area's only sports show dedicated to the Lakers on UrbanNightsRadio.com.
I'm Jordan Aquino, host of the Lakers Circle, and this week, the word around town is that this current NBA player has a brand new rap song out right now. Itching while I sing, itching while I rap, foot is the kick, tongue's the auto-tune, I am in, my brain is the mic. And so, have you listeners figured out who it is? Well, if you guessed Ron Artest, then you are wrong. No, I'm just kidding. He is formerly known as Ron Artest until he changed his name to Metal World Peace. So that guy who is spitting hot lines right now, that is MWP. I've been infected with this disease called passion. The song is called Represented. From a rough background, but I did it and represented, did it and represented, did it and represented for my home. And believe it or not, it's available on iTunes right now. Also, if you search up the Lakers Circle on Facebook and Twitter, we also have the link to the music video that comes with the song. So if you're interested in seeing Metal World Peace shirtless and rapping, then just go to our Facebook and Twitter page. And this is not the first time Ron Artest has released a song. Do you guys remember the song Champions? Moment of silence for the champions, for those who make going hard a lifestyle. Ron released this song and music video back in 2010, after he won his first NBA championship with the Los Angeles Lakers. And I'm not going to lie, I was bumping this song too after the Lakers won Game 7 against the Boston Celtics. But yo, Ron Artest, can you please lay off your so-called music career for a little bit? Can you just focus on playing? Because you're actually playing your best basketball as a Los Angeles Laker, averaging 13 points and 6 rebounds. But please, just focus on playing and trying to get more wins for the Lakers. Well, you're never going to know what you're going to get out of Ron Artest. It's just Ron being Ron and being Metal World Peace.
Something that's important is playing basketball and repping my hood, you know, Queens Projects. You already know it's really good.
And that's the word around town. Up ahead, we'll get to the Lakers' upcoming games on their schedule, and we'll also give you an update on Pau Gasol and Steve Nash. But first, let's get to these weird-looking Jordans.
Can I kick it? Can I kick it? Can I kick it?
Bet you never seen a pair of kicks like mine.
So check this out. The geniuses of Jordan Brand has recently unveiled a brand new shoe, and it's called the Jordan 28s. And I gotta tell you something, it doesn't look like any other shoe out there today. It looks like a basketball shoe that's specifically designed for a ninja, in the way it has this stealthy and sleek look to it. The whole outer part of the shoe is in this soft black fabric, and it's actually similar to a zipped up sleeve, in the way you can zip up the shoe all the way up to way above your ankle, or you can put the zipper down lower to have a lower cut shoe, and it shows the interior of the shoe, like the tongue and the laces, in a very bright neon color. And the way it functions is that when it's zipped up, it keeps your foot planted and supported. There's also a lot of carbon fiber around the heel and the middle of your foot to keep your feet supported and for the shoe to have this sort of stiffness to it. But the one feature that intrigues me is on the outer sole in the bottom of the shoe, where you have these protruded areas, and inside those areas is a Zoom airbag. So when you take a step, that bag naturally compresses and then decompresses. And I'm guessing as you're running and jumping up and down the court, it gives you this extra spring and pep to your steps. And if you want to learn more about this Jordan shoe, you can go to the Lakers Circle Facebook and Twitter page, and there will be a YouTube video of the Jordan designers talking about the shoe, and they'll explain how it looks and how it functions. So yeah, those are the Jordan 28s, and they are actually Jordan Brand's lightest and highest cut shoe ever in their history. And these won't be released to the public until February of next year, at a price of $250. So if you're a serious baller and you need a great performance shoe, you have to wait a bit until next year if you're interested in these new Jordans. That's it for all the kicks. Now it's time to move on to our last segment of the day, where we'll talk about what the Lakers should do to improve their team and what players they should add. All coming up on the Lakers Circle on UrbanNightsRadio.com.
Bet you never seen a pair of kicks like mine.
If basketball is your favorite sport, then you won't be disappointed with the Lakers Circle on UrbanNightsRadio.com. Now for your host, Jordan Aquino.
Every game for us has a lot of meaning to it at this point. I don't think it's, maybe if we were rolling, playing well, it probably has had a significance, but at this point, you know, I wish we had the Washington Generals on our schedule.
It's crunch time on the Lakers Circle, and you were just hearing Kobe during his post-game interview after the loss to the New York Knicks. And I gotta say, Kobe Bryant, he always brings something funny to his post-game interviews. In case you didn't know, he was referring to the Washington Generals who play the Harlem Globetrotters. And their job is to lose the game, because the Harlem Globetrotters, they're the show. They're the ones doing the funny stuff and all the tricks, and the people want to see them win. So the Generals are there just to lose the game. And so, what Kobe is pretty much saying is that the Lakers really need a win right now, and they would take playing against the Washington Generals. Well, newsflash, they pretty much have the second best thing. The Lakers are actually in Washington right now, getting ready to play against the Wizards later on tonight. And it's safe to say that the Washington Wizards are flat out terrible. They are the worst team in pro basketball. So Lakers, you better get a win against the Washington Wizards. You better end this losing streak tonight. After their game in the nation's capital, Lakers will be moving on to Philadelphia, where they'll play the 76ers on Sunday. And this game would have had an intriguing matchup between Dwight Howard and Andrew Bynum, the two players that were involved during the trade that sent Dwight Howard to the Los Angeles Lakers and Andrew Bynum to the Philadelphia 76ers. But like I said during my Biggest Losers of the Week, Andrew Bynum has... how can I say this delicately? He has been effing up this season, and he hasn't played a single game yet. So this Sunday, we won't see two very good centers go at it. After their game in Philadelphia, the Lakers will come back home and end their four-game road trip. On the 18th, they'll face off against the Charlotte Bobcats, before going up north to Oakland to play against the Golden State Warriors on the 22nd. Now, Pau Gasol expects to be ready to play in that game against the Warriors and against David Lee after resting his knees. Pau Gasol has been saying that he's been suffering from knee tendonitis, and hopefully the rest did Pau Gasol some good because he really needs to start playing well for the Lakers. As for Steve Nash, he just needs to start playing again. Nash has already missed all but two games of this season after fracturing his left leg, and the Lakers medical staff have said that he could be back in 1 or 2 weeks. But I feel like they've been saying that for the last month, so who knows what the timetable is for Steve Nash. Moving on to Nash's backup, Steve Blake has also missed a significant amount of games. He ended up getting abdominal surgery and it was a success, but it's gonna require significant recovery time. So expect Steve Blake to miss the next month or so. That means Chris Duhon and Darius Morris are the primary point guards at the moment, but that doesn't mean the Lakers aren't looking to find someone new to add to the roster. LA is targeting the likes of Gennaro Pargo and Delonte West to play either the point guard position or as a shooting guard. And to be honest, I didn't even know Gennaro Pargo was still in the league. He's bounced around for the past couple of years, and I thought he retired already because he's already 33 years old, so I didn't even know he was available. But the player I really want the Lakers to try to get is Delonte West, and I know early on in this season, Delonte West, he got cut by the Dallas Mavericks, and that's due to the fact that he is known to be bipolar. Sometimes his attitude and tantrums becomes a detriment to the team, but hey, that's not hiding the fact that Delonte West can really play. During his days as a Cleveland Cavalier, he was able to be the lead guard and handle the ball and set up his teammates, but he also played off the ball and played as a shooting guard because he has that ability to shoot the ball and score. And he has a nice mid-range touch, and he can also knock down shots from the three-point range. And the one thing that I really like about him is that he has the ability to post up other point guards out there, and he has a nice touch when he does his turnaround jumper. And lastly, he can get after it on defense as well. He has very long arms that he uses to his advantage, and he has pretty good speed to where he can maintain and stay in front of other point guards in the league. So that's who I want the Lakers to try to get and add on to their roster. The Lakers are also interested in Rajah Bell, and he's currently with the Utah Jazz, but right now he's waiting for the Jazz to buy out his contract so he can move on and join another team. And the Chicago Bulls, they've also been interested in Bell as well. But the Lakers are looking at Bell because they don't really have a backup small forward besides Devin Ebanks, and he's still a young and experienced player. I don't think he can handle that type of role. So I understand if the Lakers are interested in a veteran. And plus, Rajah Bell has experience playing with Steve Nash during their Phoenix Suns days, and he knows Coach Mike D'Antoni's system. But we still have to wait and see if the Utah Jazz will actually buy out his contract. But you know what? The Lakers need all the help they can get at this point of the season. They are only 9-14, 5 games under 500. And normally, I would say that this upcoming week is an easy week for the Lakers, but considering how they're playing so far, you never know. They could end up losing to the Washington Wizards and the Charlotte Bobcats, and it's gonna be downright embarrassing if they do. But let me not be so pessimistic. I apologize if you listeners at home are crying in tears right now because the Lakers suck so bad right now. But look, The Lakers are losing games because of simple things. They are not doing the simple things right.
You know, we play at a very slow pace, and we struggle, and it just seeps over defense, I guess. You know, I'm just guessing. I don't know because it's a mindset, and it's a...
So, Coach D'Antoni, you have to understand what type of team you have. You can't just implement a system if it doesn't fit. And most importantly, you have to game plan the team's defense a lot more and a lot better than what you have ever done before in your career. If this team wants to start winning again and want to become a title contending team, it has to start on the defensive end. As the saying goes, offense may win you games, but defense wins championships. It may be a little cheesy and cliche, but it does hold a lot of truth on how to be successful in the NBA. That's all we have for today's show, and thank you for listening to the podcast. This is the Lakers Circle on UrbanNightsRadio.com, and make sure to follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. I'm your host, Jordan Aquino, and I hope that everyone will have a beautiful weekend, and catch you guys next week. I'm out. Deuces.